Everyone has a fave Wendy's Frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new Frosty Swirls and Frosty Fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo Brownie Fusion, Pop-Tarts Strawberry Fusion, Strawberry Swirl, Brownie Batter Swirl, Caramel Swirl, and Caramel Crunch Fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to Frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co. LLC, used with permission.
Thank you so much for joining us here on Newsnight.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in one-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free four-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free four-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Hi, Tom Selleck here. In 1980, when Magnum started, that was the first time I really ever had any discretionary income. And that's when I first started buying gold. Back then, even when Reagan took office, we were still under a cloud of inflation. Well, inflation is back. So for me, it's not a question of why gold. It's a question of who can you trust. A friend of mine recommended Goldco, and I gave him a try. And I gotta say, I wasn't sorry. They even sent me a gold and silver kit that was filled with valuable information, and I got the gold and silver I asked for. Look, you can go to TomLikesGoldCo.com to see if gold and silver are right for you. That's TomLikesGoldCo.com.
In our very first story, Interior Minister Mohamed Muntaka is rejecting claims the security detail at the private residence of the EC chairperson Jean Mensah at Laboni has been withdrawn. A visit by our news team revealed no visible police presence, with the once heavily guarded entrance now quiet and the police barricade removed. This development comes just days after the NDC national chairman Johnson Asiedu Nketiah called for the dismissal of Jean Mensah and her two deputies. Here's what we observed.
So that right there is the residence of the EC chair, Jean Mensah, and the security detail here has been withdrawn. Ordinarily, if you get here, you're going to see a police checkpoint with men in uniform guarding the place, but it is a different case as at now, and we do not know whether they have been reassigned, whether she has traveled, or what the case is. But what we know right now is that there is no security detail here as it used to before. The police barricade has been moved onto the other side of the road, resting here, which is not what it used to be. You can see the police checkpoint with the inscription written stop there, being pushed to the other side of the road, which ordinarily would have been placed somewhere here to ensure that the EC chair is given the adequate security that she and her family needs. But it is not here now, but we do not know, as I mentioned earlier, whether or not she is in the country, she has traveled, or what the case is. But what we can confirm to you now is that there is no security whatsoever if you come to the residence of the EC chairperson, Madam Jean Mensah.
Well, by speaking to Joy News, the Interior Minister said the chairperson's military detail has been replaced with police officers.
I personally spoke to her after the meeting. We agreed that we were no longer going to use military to provide what was civilian protection. So that was withdrawn and replaced with the police. So if you ask her, she will tell you she has a bodyguard. She has police manning her gate both day and night, and therefore it is never true if anybody says that her security has been withdrawn. What we do generally is to provide security around every neighborhood. But VVIPs, like the chair of the, Electoral Commission, she has a boy called Kesnap, bodyguard. Her man, her gate is manned 24/7, just like the Chief Justice, just like the Speaker of Parliament, and all others. And that we are doing. And I'm sure you can call her and find out, and she can confirm that, no, she has both her and her deputies, her office is protected.
Meanwhile, security analyst Festus Abuaji has backed the decision by the state to withdraw the military security detail stationed at the EC chairperson's residence, insisting such a duty is police function.
And the EC person is not one that must entitle anybody military protection. Indeed, I would suggest that the outgoing government must explain to Ghanaians why it considered it necessary to use the military in the roles that it did, not only in elections, but all over the place.
Right.
So this is a situation of normalizing the status quo ante based on international best practice, that the EC will be protected, but not by men in uniform. Because as the predecessor said, the military is trained to shoot to kill. And we've seen that over the past 8 years when we put the military in the front line of our election, whether Ayawaso West were gone, Ejira was a different matter. But in the elections and voter registration 2020 proper and 2024, when we put the military in the front line, what happened was that the military, you know, activities resulted in fatalities. So I would support the idea of withdrawing the military protection details of everybody, with the exception of, you know, the chief executives and those at the top, and get the military to go back to barracks and then plan and train how to defend this country.
Right.
Which is what they established in law to do.
Right. So you also, you know, spoke about some accountability on the part of the previous administration to explain what really went into the decision to use military to protect the EC chair. Indeed, then that means some laws might have been broken, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to go into the legal domain. But the plain language of the Constitution is that the military shall protect the territorial integrity and sovereignty of the state. And it's on rare occasions that the military is used internally when there are internal threats to the security of the state. A clear will be, for instance, Boko. But when you go into election, which must be peaceful, why is there a need? Who can ever justify that military men and women must protect an issue? And let me remind your audiences that we saw on TV that the security detail of the EC, contrary to professional practice or professional drills, were rather carrying handbags. They were carrying the handbags of lawyers of the ruling government going to court. The way you do that, you are exposing the military to situations, as the speaker said, which is the domain of the police. If the police do that, fine, but not the military. Because the military, if they are used in protective duties, must have their eyes and ears and their arms and legs free to use the weapon in order to defend that personality.
Well, away from that, 15,000 first-year students in public tertiary institutions have become the first beneficiaries of the No Fees Stress Initiative, as the validation and payment processes are underway to refund fees of all those who registered. Speaking in the Eastern Regional Capital Kofradia, President Mahama revealed that in the 2022-2023 academic year, over 150,000 students were admitted to public tertiary institutions. However, thousands were unable to enroll due to financial constraints and paying academic-related fees. But that and many others, he says, informed the rollout of the new policy.
Nations reduce youth unemployment and increase social mobility and enhance civic engagement. Ghana must not be left behind. We must prioritize our people's intellectual capital as our greatest asset. Let me use this occasion to call upon all our stakeholders. To my students, this opportunity is yours to seize, focus, excel, and commit yourselves to serving your nation, Ghana. To our tertiary institutions, implement this policy with transparency, compassion, and excellence, and let us make this a model of effective public delivery. To the private sector and our development partners, I invite you to co-invest in this future through endowment funds, bursary schemes, and public-private financing models that extend the reach and sustainability of this initiative. Let us work together to raise a generation of Ghanaians who are confident, skilled, and ready to build a prosperous and united nation. Mr. Chairman, as we were told, 150,000 students have so far accessed the portal. And for those of you who have not accessed the portal, you better start doing so now. Out of this, 34,500 have been validated and awaiting payment. And out of that number, as at yesterday, 15,000 students had received their alerts for payment.
Well, Education Minister Haruna Idrisu announced that the Ghana Education Trust Fund, GET Fund, will, beginning next year, double its allocation to the Student Loan Trust from 70 million to 150 million cedis to further support students.
Mr. President, that next year, the GET Fund will double its allocation to the Student Loan Trust from 70 million to 150 million. To support students who may want to access it further. Excellency John Dramani Mahama, before I invite you to the podium, even at the WAEC ceremony, I will next week on your behalf, in honor of one of your campaign promises, lay the Scholarship Authority Bill before Parliament to deal with the nepotism, cronyism that was associated with the award of scholarship. And in that bill, now I acknowledge the chairman of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Education, the Honorable Notchu. In that bill, again, to the legacy, enduring legacy of President Mahama, there would be what we call the President's Scholarship for Scholarship, which will recognize awarding brilliant students in the country need areas, if it is science, mathematics, and engineering, at the president's pleasure, not nepotistic pleasure, at his pleasure. So the President's Scholarship for Scholarship will honor 10 brilliant students determined and declared by the West African Exam Council as the overall best students in the country.
Well, Presidential Affairs Correspondent Maxwell Agbaba joins us with more. Maxwell, you were in the Eastern Regional Capital. Tell us about the reaction of the students.
Well, Carlos, there was a lot of excitement at the SDA College of Education in Asokore. Our students from various special institutions broke into splinter groups singing their favorite Jama songs. Inside the auditorium, the atmosphere was packed to capacity. Now, many of the students I spoke to said they initially thought the No Fees First initiative was just another campaign promise. But today they are thrilled that the president has delivered on it. The occasion marked the official validation and disbursement process. The president actually mentioned that 15,000 first-year students across public tertiary institutions selected as the first batch of beneficiaries have already received their money. So he disclosed this at the launch. He says validation is underway to pay more of them.
Right. Maswa, apart from that, what more can you report?
Well, the president has also been talking about other components of the No Fees Stress policy. So a lot of people are familiar with the payment for first-year students. Now, there are other components that the president has been highlighting today. So he talked about the Student Loan Plus Initiative. This would ensure expanded eligibility and simplified access to the Student Loan Trust Fund. He also talked about free tertiary education for persons with disabilities. He talked about increased student loan amounts. He says the real cost, this one will reflect the real cost of tertiary education. And the amount will also be adjusted annually. He also talked about diversified student funding mechanisms, including scholarships for underrepresented communities and disciplines, vital to national development. He also talked about students in fee-paying programs without regular track equivalents will receive
right.
a reimbursement of up to 2,500 Ghana cedis for academic fees. So these are the various components
right.
of the no fee stress policy he's been highlighting today.
All right. Thank you so much. Maxwell Agbagba is our presidential affairs correspondent. Now, away from that, the swearing in of the seven new justices to the Supreme Court is more than a ceremonial event. According to President John Dramani Mahama, it is a signpost that the reset of Ghana's democracy has begun, not just in words, but in action and within institutions. At a ceremony held at the presidency, the president warned against political interference and intimidation, stressing that a strong judiciary is not a threat to government, but rather a foundation of democratic governance. We'll hear from the president shortly, but first, one of the newly sworn in justices, Justice Senyo Jamefe, talked about a long journey to the Supreme Court bench. He said that for some of them, even their families began questioning the delays.
To the people of Ghana, to the people of Ghana, we promise that we will dispense justice to all manner of people without fear or favor, ill will or affection. We also promise you equal justice under law. We pray the Almighty God to give us the strength, the wisdom, and the courage to fulfill this promise. To friends and families, especially our spouses and children, you have been with us through thick and thin. The journey for some of us up to today has been exceptionally long. But you never gave up on us. You kept encouraging us, praying for us, and supporting us. You have the faith and confidence that this day will arrive. Finally, it has arrived. The dreadful questions that our children ask, this time to your name hasn't come on the list. Today is over. To our children, our name has come now. But then, this is a lesson for us. This is the surest confirmation of the oft-quoted cliche that God's time is always the best.
Well, we can now hear from President Mahama as he speaks about the beginning of the reset of Ghana's institutions.
I await the report of the HKC Prempeh Constitutional Review Committee in August this year, and I'm hopeful that their report will contain recommendations that will make our judiciary more effective and just. Ladies and gentlemen, history teaches us that where the judiciary is strong, society is stable. Where the judiciary is impartial, citizens feel secure. And where the judiciary is respected, democracy flourishes. We must protect our courts from political interference, economic manipulation, and public intimidation. An independent judiciary is not a threat to government. It is a partner in nation building. We need justices who are not swayed by popularity or pressure, but are anchored in the Constitution and driven by a genuine desire to uphold justice without fear or favor. We need a judiciary that understands that legal certainty and predictability are essential for good governance, investor confidence, economic growth, and social cohesion. my fellow citizens, the swearing in of these new justices today is more than just a ceremonial function. It is a beacon of hope in a time where many Ghanaians are yearning for direction and renewal. It is a signpost that the reset has begun, not only in words, but also in action and in our institutions. We are building a new Ghana, one where our institutions work, leadership listens, and merit is rewarded, and justice is blind not to truth, but blind to bias.
President Mahamadou, well, it's time for business.
My name is Winston Taki, and now let's bring you the latest update in business. Ghana's upstream petroleum sector has reached a major milestone following the Ministry of Energy and Green Transition's announcement of the formal submission of declaration of commercialization for the Eban Akoma oil and gas discoveries in Cape 3 Points Block 4. The move confirms the commercial viability of the finds and set the stage for a new domestic energy development. Meanwhile, Benjamin Nsia, Executive Director of the Center for Environmental Management and Sustainable Energy, has urged government and stakeholders to adopt a vertical business model to fully maximize the benefit of the oil sector.
This new discovery is going to increase our output, means that we need to rechannel some of this output to BOST. And when we do that, it means that we are creating jobs and also redirect some product from Thor to the downstream. And that means that we're adding value, and value addition to our product also means creating jobs for the teeming youth who may not have jobs. And also the oil income, we need to critically look at the 919 or 873, which is Petroleum Revenue Management Act. I think that when you look at that particular act carefully, it doesn't do us good, because the act mentions a lot of areas that we need to invest in. And these areas, based on PIAC reports, have not yielded the kind of investment we need.
That is Benjamin Sia, is Executive Director of the Center for Environmental Management and Sustainable Energy. In other development, the Bank of Ghana's gold reserves rose to 32.99 tons at the end of June 2025, up from 32.16 tons in May. Speaking to Joy Business, banking consultant Richmond Etiahene cautioned the government to manage its exposure to the global market carefully, warning that a significant drop in prices could lead to substantial losses.
It's a very good idea, but you cannot continue on it, because as a gold, as a commodity, if you don't take care, it drops out from $3,200 to $2,500, then you're going to incur losses. So in other jurisdiction, what they do is that they have invested brokers. When they see where the going is good, they can let some go and buy currency, like the euro, the dollar, or the pound. But because of our situation, we have decided to use more to hedge by using the gold. But it is not a foolproof issue, because should anything happen, the prices could come down. And if the prices come down, your reserve go down.
That is Dr. Richmond Etiahene, who is a banking consultant, speaking on the improved gold reserves at the Bank of Ghana. That's all for business. My name is Winston Taki. Back to Carlos Coloni for the rest of the bulletin.
Thank you so much, Winston. Well, to some other story, when 24-year-old Kwame was picked up for murder in 2023, he thought he was going to get a fair hearing within weeks. But without a lawyer and no money for one, he has spent nearly 2 years behind bars awaiting trial. His story is one of many, as the Legal Aid Commission says it is severely understaffed, leaving thousands like Kwame stuck in the system without legal help. Rita Kukunti Ali of the commission says the lack of personnel is directly contributing to Ghana's prison overcrowding crisis. She spoke during a legal outreach organized by the Greater Accra chapter of the Ghana Bar Association in Insam prisons, aimed at reducing inmate numbers and bringing legal help to those who can't afford it.
I am at the Legal Aid Commission, but I tell you what, we are understaffed at the commission. We are overwhelmed with cases, and so even though the commission has been set up by the state to deal with this kind of people who do not have money on their own to engage private lawyers, we are not many. The lawyers at the commission are not many to deal with all these cases. Majority of the inmates here are on remand, which means that their cases have not yet been tried. And for some of them, the reason why their cases have not been tried is because they do not have lawyers. Because if you have a lawyer, your lawyer is going to push and, you know, get your case heard in good time. But for some of them, because they don't have lawyers, they are almost like forgotten. They are here, they can be here for years, and their case will not be heard. So this is very, very, very important. It's very necessary. It's all about justice.
Meanwhile, the Eastern Regional Commander and OIC of the Nsawam Medium Prisons, DDP Patrick Thomas Sedu, is also making a fresh appeal to government, this time for an urgent review of the daily feeding allowance allocated to prisoners. He describes the current 1 cedi 80 pesos per inmate per day as woefully inadequate given current food prices.
Sure, it is a challenge to feeding because they are being fed on 1 cedi 80 pesos a day. And then this has persisted over a decade ago. And then we know what is obtained currently in the market. So the feeding rates of 1 cedi 80 pesos to provide 3 square meals, not only that, but nutritious meals for the inmates, is definitely a challenge.
Well, the husband of evangelist Patricia Siedua Isiema, also known as Agrada, says he's unfazed by her arrest, calling it a possible spiritual or targeted attack. Speaking to the media, he insisted the church remains open and he will continue the ministry in her absence, describing the situation as part of the trials of God's calling. Agrada, a former traditional priestess turned evangelist, was sentenced to 15 years in prison with hard labor for fraudulent religious activities. Well, speaking in tree there, he said some members claimed that evangelist Reverend Madame Pat had extorted money from them. However, this doesn't sit well with him because it is customary for people to give offerings when they attend church services. And on the face value, the issue appears troubling, but it also has a spiritual dimension. And according to him, many apostles also faced trials and tribulations, yet in the end, the name of the Lord was glorified through them. Well, St. James Seminary SHS a few hours ago produced a masterclass of academic dominance in the final of the Bono Ahafo Zonal Championship, crushing the opponent with a dramatic second round surge that sealed their path to glory in the 2025 NSMQ. The Abyssin-based boys finished with an emphatic 64 points, well ahead of the opponent. But before we speak to Colin Frimpong, let's take a quick moment to look back yesterday's semifinals, a day that shook the venue with energy, surprises, and unforgettable moments.
Yes.
Skeletal system.
I'll give it to you.
Me, I was very, the excitement was super. All I have to tell them is they should learn. We are very, very excited. We are very, very excited. So, next time.
You can't explain how I feel. It was better than expected. And alhamdulillah, all praises to God, the maker of the heavens and the earth. since the SUSEC took the championship from us, we are bringing it back, inshallah.
We thought we were never going to win, but we became the underdogs. Let me tell you something. An American philosopher, René Descartes, once said, and I quote, if it is not in our power to determine what is right, we ought to follow what is probable. But if the truth becomes suspicious, lies can no longer be tolerated. And now we show them that the lies that they were depending on can never be tolerated.
Well, let's go to the phone lines now and speak to my colleague, Collins Frimpong. Collins, what is the latest?
Carlos. such a wonderful day for myself and also everybody who was present at the senior high school. And the energy levels, everything was so fantastic. When the quiz started, the first contest was quite tight until the second round when St. James's Senior High School took over, winning all the questions, the speed race questions, securing over 25 points up. And after the second round, they were leading with 54 points, and they ended with 54 points at the end of the whole contest. And we've been engaging some of them. They are really excited. You know, last year at the National Championship, they lost in the quarterfinals to Prosek Legon and Pope Jones. They claim that they have found the antidote and they will be coming after Prosek this time around in October. Anytime they have been paired against them, so they are ready for Prosek in any other school.
Right. Thank you so much for the update. Let's cross over to Adobe Asare. Also, I believe currently you are in the central region. What's the situation like?
Right, Carlos. We've moved to the Citadel of Education in Ghana, where over 41 schools are set to compete. Now, notable among these contestants are Adiza Del College, who have won the Central Regional Championship three consecutive times, meaning they are currently the holders of the regional championship title. But we also have the overall champions of NSMQ 2024, that's the Infantsepem Kwabuche Boys. And then we have Agri Memorial in Fanceman, who didn't do so well. I mean, Holy Child is also part. They didn't do so well last year in the nationals. So they'll also have to contest in the regional qualifiers. So we're looking forward to very intense contests because everybody wants to prove a point and everybody is eyeing the regional championship title. Carlos.
You're equally having fun out there. Well, that's all time will allow us here on News Night. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Carlos Kaloni.